Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, you drove in on the motorcycle today.
I did. It's a beautiful day.
Some nice weather as we're recording this. Do you have peace of mind as you drive your motorcycle?
I do, actually.
Pretty confident motorcycle driver?
I don't know if I'm completely confident, but yes, I have a lot of peace of mind. I'm very safe. I keep a lot of distance and make sure that people can see me.
That's the thing. If it wasn't for other cars, riding a motorcycle would be just fine.
It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, hey, if it wasn't for some of the problems we have in life, we wouldn't have to have estate planning.
That's probably true as well.
But we want to prepare for every situation. And you're talking about having peace of mind in estate planning this week.
Yeah. And so we need to first define what it means to even have an estate plan, right? So that we can lead into, well, what is this thing called peace of mind? Why does actually estate planning give us peace? Why is it that we have an anxiety or we have this pinging in our heart that we're not quite put together yet, that we're not quite at a place where we need to be? And so when we talk about estate planning in general, then what that is really talking about are the major documents that every single person needs in their life. And I don't care what type of wealth you have or don't have. If you are over the age of 18, Washington State says you're an adult. Now, I have daughters who are 25 and 27. I argue that 18 is an adult. I argue that 25 is an adult. But when I look back at myself, I thought I was an adult too. So the legal definition of adult is 18 in Washington. Therefore, anyone who is 18 or over needs to use some type of an estate plan, because if the unexpected happened, which is we die, and we live in a broken world and nobody knows their day. I think I'm usually pretty happy that I don't know my day. I think I would rather have that hidden from me than disclosed to me. So we know that this thing called death is where we are all heading. We hope, however, that we still have some more time. As a matter of fact, I woke up this morning. I made a decision to ride my motorcycle in to the radio studio, and then I'm going to be riding it to work, and then I get to ride it home. I did not have one thought until right now. Thanks, Mark.
Sorry about that.
That said, this
remember, that's dangerous.
Yeah, that's right. This is my last day on Earth. As a matter of fact, I woke up doing something that is a little more risky, and yet I still, within me, don't believe this is my last day. As a matter of fact, my calendar says it shouldn't be my last day. I have a very full calendar, right? So we know in the back of our minds that we are all marching towards this thing called dying. And yet, we rarely think that this could be our day. Or we could, unfortunately, have a health incident. It may not take our life. It may not be our day to go see our Heavenly Father. It might be just that we have a very difficult season of life ahead of us because of a health emergency.
Yeah, that's one thing I've learned hosting the show with you through the years, is it's not just about dying.
It's not.
It's about health problems that could happen for the last 20, 30 years of your life, and you need to have these documents in place.
Absolutely. And so even someone who is younger, I've mentioned this before, but right now, the younger generation, kids in their 20s, are going through mental health issues like no generation that we have. We've had the greatest generation go through world wars, and it doesn't seem that there is in the history records so much mental health as what we are encountering right now in our 20s. So what if someone in their 20s has a mental health issue? What if their anxiety gets the best of them and they are unable to help themselves? If we don't have legal documentation around a younger person, do you know how hard it is to deal with a mental health problem for somebody without proper legal documents? So really, anybody who is 18 or older, when you lose that parental custody, then we need to have these estate documents in place, because We don't know the day that we're going to be called home, and we don't know the day that we may have a health emergency to where we need someone to stand next to us and actually take the reins of our life. So every individual needs major documents. So what are those major documents? Number one, every person needs a will or a trust. That's the disposition document. That's if I die, what happens to whatever financial wherewithal that I have. And yes, you can do things such as beneficiary designations. We can joint bank accounts. There's things that we can do to avoid needing that document. However, it is in your best interest to ensure that everything in your life is going to be captured, all of your assets, whether known or unknown, by a proper document. So people are going to be afraid to come and see me if I keep talking about dying on a motorcycle here today. but this is just going to be the example. What if I didn't make it here, Mark? Mm. And now my wife is ticked off that somebody ran me over, and there's no beneficiary designation I can put on a lawsuit, on a death claim, right? So therefore, a will or a trust is always going to capture every type of incident, whether it's known or unknown. You may have a legal right to something that you don't know of yet. Mm. And so therefore, the will or the trust captures all of your assets instead of relying upon beneficiary designations or joint ownership. That is the poor man's way of doing estate planning. And I'm telling you, almost every single time something is missed. Mm. And it ends up marching us down a probate road, which takes longer and is more difficult and more costly than it is to do proper estate planning. Mm. So the first thing that we need is a disposition document. Then number two, we need our proper financial, healthcare, mental health, power of attorneys. Mm-hmm. So each of those play a different role. We'll talk about them here. And then we need what we call a living will or a healthcare directive. Mm-hmm. In other words, if I found myself on life support, if I found myself in a completely compromised state, how long do I want doctors to be paying attention to me to try to get me back into health again versus allowing me to go? Mm-hmm. So those are the major documents that really every single person needs. And that's the first step of estate planning. We got to know what we're supposed to have.
Before we get into some of those more specific items, remind me again how many people actually have a will or a trust.
Yeah.
It's like, you're talking about getting them at 18, but people who are 60 and 70 still sometimes don't have.
Yeah, you're right.
Like half the population, you said?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So there's two statistics. If you're 65 and younger, then there's a 35% chance you have some type of documentation.
35.
Okay. If you are 65 years or older, in other words, we retire, we start feeling our age, and this, we start watching people around us pass away who are our own age, and probably scares us. And so really, retirement is one of the biggest events that cause people to say, okay, now I've built something, now I should deal with this thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're 65 years or older, then 50%.
Just 50%.
Just 50% have some type of estate plan. Even though we all have an estate, I don't know what it is, but you are your most valuable resource. So I go back to, do you even have your healthcare documents? Mm-hmm. It's less than 30% of all age groups. Doesn't matter if you're 65 or over, or if you're under that age, less than 30% have healthcare and health directives. Mm-hmm. That needs to be filled in. That gap is way too big. And so who is going to have the legal authority to communicate with doctors to ensure you get the proper care? And specifically, if you're going to go against the doctor's advice. So there's too many people that need to do this thing called estate planning. And it does need to happen at a younger age because I just can't predict life. I can't predict what will happen and when it will happen to you. So therefore, we need to be prepared. And so therefore, those are the type of estate planning documents. And when we talk about estate planning, That's what we mean. Mm-hmm. So,
well, tell us, you have a scripture that you base this peace of mind in estate planning on from Philippians.
Yeah, that's right. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, 6 and 7. So what it says is Paul's writing and he's saying, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't have that anxiety. If there's something within you that is not that you don't have perfect peace, then this is his solution. In everything, by prayer and supplication, okay, so by requesting and making a specific request with God, with thanksgiving. So in other words, be grateful. Come before our Father with praise and come before him with gratitude. In that atmosphere, let your request be made known to God. Then, after we have communicated to God, Paul goes on in verse 7 and says, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that word guard is a really interesting word. It means that to be a watcher in advance. In other words, to watch over something in advance of a problem, to stand guard, to surround and protect. And the image there is like a mounted guard at the gate. Well, I looked at this and I was thinking about this show and I'm thinking, you know, that's exactly what estate planning is supposed to do for somebody. Number one, we're supposed to use our voice. Estate planning gives you the opportunity to express what you desire to have happen, both with your finances and with your personhood. And good estate planning should cover both realms. It should cover your financial life and it should cover your own body to make sure that you are personally going to be well taken care of. As a matter of fact, I tell clients all the time, my first job is to ensure that you are well protected. Then, when you pass away, then I'll turn my attention towards your family, towards your beneficiaries, towards your kids, and then I'll make sure that they're well taken care of. But my first job, make sure you are well taken care of. So estate planning is really in line with what Paul tells us, which is if you feel anxious, man, I haven't done this drill called estate planning. Okay, so there's something in you that you know your financial life is not in perfect order yet. Well, estate planning gives you a space to let your request be known. It gives you a space to use your voice. And when you do that, then those documents become your shield. They become what Paul was talking about, which is a guard. They're a watcher. We're in advance creating documents that watch over, that anticipate different things that will happen in your life. And notice that language. They will happen. If you reach, again, 65 is about that age where they really start changing the statistics. If you reach the age of 65, do you know that there is a 75% chance or greater that you will have a health incident that requires someone else to stand next to you and help you? 75% chance. And so whether you pass away or whether you have a health incident, these documents are intended to stand guard and be ready to be used to ensure that if you pass away, there is a smooth transition, or if you have a health incident, we know exactly what to do and who has the legal authority. So number one, if we work this in backwards order real quick, and then we're up against a break, which is when we have the documents around us, then we end up ultimately having peace because we know that we've done what we're supposed to do and we are going to be well taken care of, and what our wishes declare are going to be followed.
Peace of mind in estate planning, the subject this week. We will expand on how to get this peace in your estate planning.
That's
with
right.
Paul Grant here as the show continues in just a moment. Paul, people are intrigued by your approach to this subject, want to find out more about your services. How do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant continues in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Paul talking about peace of mind in estate planning this week. And continuing now, is this something people really can expect in estate planning? Peace?
I really think so. And but let me address an unfortunate fallacy in estate planning. All right, so so you lean in and you get these documents and you go, I did it. Mm-hmm. The task is done.
The task is done.
Hey, look at me. I grew up. I actually did what I was supposed to do and I feel great, right? If I...
Well, you can feel great for a little while, can't you?
Well, you can. You there can, definitely.
Because you say 50% don't even have anything. So if you're on the other side of that, then...
Yeah, and the song, you know... I forget what it is. The I Feel Good song, right? Anyways, I can't sing worth a lick, so I'm not even going to do it.
James Brown?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. There you go. That's the song that plays in our mind. I did it. I did the task, and there is such a danger in that thought process. So I want to take a moment because we're talking about peace. And yes, when you go to a professional, there's two things that you are expecting. Number one, that they do their job well, that they know what they're doing, okay? And that after that, that you are well taken care of. But because someone did their job, you're well taken care of. Here's a couple little under the rock. We don't like to lift the rocks because crabs come out, you know, like when you're walking the beach, and then they scare you.
Eels.
They don't want that. So I'm going to lift up the rock a little bit, and there might be some things under there that we have to talk about. So, number one, truly, the only way that you know if someone did their job well for you, okay? So this is assuming that you're going to go use an attorney. This is assuming that you are not going to go do it yourself. If you're going to do it yourself, well... good luck. Okay, so...
And how would someone do it themselves?
Well, they would go online. They look at their
get
parents.
Get a will.com or whatever.
Something like that. Yeah, and they type it up on their own or they write it on a napkin. There's so many things that I've seen. So number one, for your do-it-yourselfers, you know you get what you pay for, right? So we're only talking your health, your mental health. We're only talking about your wealth all wrapped up in one document of how it's supposed to move. But yeah, you can do that yourself. So I am talking about when somebody uses another professional. One of the unfortunate parts of checking an attorney's work is that the only way you would really know is if somebody did their job right is by hiring another attorney and saying, review this for me. Make sure that it's done well. But boy, nobody wants to do that. You just paid somebody believing that they did a good job just to turn around and pay somebody else to say, yes, tell me they did a good job. So there's one concern is that 20% of wills in Washington are challenged one way or another, and a majority of those are because of attorney error. Now, that doesn't give me much confidence in my own profession, and unfortunately, it won't give much confidence to the listening audience. But number one, if you're looking for an attorney, make sure this is what they do. Not this is just what they've done in the past or that they have a template, that they're going to actually sit down with you. They're going to spend time with you, get to know you, make sure that they know all of your different finances. that they listen about the beneficiaries and what is going on in the family, who manages money well, who doesn't manage money well. Do you have special needs children? Do you have grandchildren that are special needs that could actually, you know, this could run down generations? So what happens to the plan on the what-if basis? Most wills are very rudimentary. They're a disposition document. They are intended in their purest form just to write a check. That's all they do. They write a check. They make sure someone gets the money. Now, that's a good thing. At least we used our voice, because I told you before break, use your voice. Tell us who gets something. So that is a good thing. And it tells, a will would also tell us who's to close the estate. That's called a personal representative, or other people call it an executor. So that's a good thing. And then it should give very strong court language. In other words, the legal foundation, so that when it goes to court, that it will be upheld. And also the fourth thing that if you've been keeping track, it gets money to where it's supposed to go. It tells who's going to close your estate, your personal representative. It gives court instructions. Then number four, when necessary, it gives guardianship information. So those are the four things that a will does. However, in its truest form, it's rudimentary. It is just to move money. And there's very little consideration to whether or not a beneficiary can manage money or whether they will squander the money. Most inheritances are spent in less than 18 months, and it doesn't matter how much you get. I can tell you stories of millions of dollars with an S on the back end being spent in less than 2 years. So don't think that the amount of money dictates whether or not someone is going to actually spend it frivolously. And if that's not your vision, then we need to talk about what do you want to do? How do you want this thing to happen? So when we talk about a will and estate planning, the first thing that you need to make sure is how much has the person in front of you that you're going to entrust with this drill, with this intimate need of yours, which is to move your finances and make sure that you're well taken care of, how much experience have they really had in this area? Are they just going to use a template document, or is it going to be your document? Most of the time, you can look at page one and then the signature page. Take them off, and every other estate plan is almost the same in between. So very few attorneys take the time and the effort to specialize in estate planning. You really do need it. This is far more complicated than what people realize. So therefore, it should not just be something that you find your neighborhood attorney, or because they did your divorce, let's go ahead and have them do my will. Well, they may have been successful in one area of law, but that doesn't mean that you should entrust them with the next area of law. So I encourage you, find an estate planner, not just an attorney. Find someone who actually concentrates and knows this area, is studying this area, is going to create a specialized plan for you and your family, because you are not the same family as your neighbor next door. So how in the world can the same document work for both of you? Everyone has different family dynamics. Everyone has different financial wherewithal. Everyone has different goals and dreams of how to care for their family in this drill. So it's not about just doing the drill. It's about finding the right person. Then, after you find the right person, the next follow-up question is, how do I update this? How do I keep you involved in the plan? Because there are things that are always going to change. Your family's going to change. Your finances are going to change. And actually, your perspective in life is going to change. My girls, 25, 27, when they were 15 and 17, 10 years ago, just 10 short years ago, I had a very different perspective of life and over my girls than what I have now. So this thing called estate planning, it will move. My job, my profession, I watch the law and the taxes. It's always moving. Therefore, how does a stagnant document ever keep up with the legal changes and the tax changes? It can't. So number one, find someone who does this regularly. Number two, find out, what does it mean for for that person to remain in relationship with you, what is their strategy? What is their program that will help the document stay at its highest, best use? So we don't want the mentality of, I have a task. This is supposed to be something that wraps around you, stands guard around you, and is going to protect your family potentially for generations. So we need to have this be at the level of importance that it really is.
Peace of mind in estate planning. And Paul encourages you to find someone to help you with that. And maybe you feel like you found that person, and it's Paul.
That's right.
How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to my website. It's legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. All of this can be found at legacyandfaith.com.
Paul Grant and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.